Okay, I just want to focus on three goals here for a history education before we turn to talk about the research we have. And I want to bring to you just some short extracts in relation to these three goals from the literature in the field of history education. So, firstly, I think it's widely accepted by teachers of history in the UK that school students' historical knowledge ought to rest on an open tradition of inquiry that enables them to understand the nature and the status of the knowledge they acquire. And central to this enterprise is a concept of evidence. And here I mean a concept of evidence, not skills and source work, without a goal linked to evidence. This helps to develop in children certain dispositions. A reflexive approach to knowledge, a respect for evidence, a willingness to re-examine perceived certainties, and a willingness to recognise and value sound, well-grounded judgments, a contempt for polemic, and a willingness to consider the context in which speech, intention, and action is reported. This approach to history has been justified time and again in the literature within history education. And we can go back to Peter Rogers in 1980, writing from the perspective of history education in Northern Ireland. And he makes the point that the procedures are what makes history a discipline, and study which neglects them can hardly count as history at all. And Dennis Shemmelt in 1992 argues that concern with the evidential basis of claims to knowledge is not mere pedantry. It is a moral concern fundamental to the maintenance of an open tradition and thereby of an open society. Secondly, students need to acquire some kind of temporal orientation, a framework of knowledge that can provide them with that kind of historical consciousness that allows them to orientate themselves in time. Now, over the past 30 years, this has been discussed, and very many phrases have been around. Frames of reference, a framework, a big picture, historical orientation, and more recently, it's been described as chronology and narrative. These phrases mean different things to different people, and we need to get at what people do actually mean, what lies behind these phrases. And they might relate very much to different kinds of goals for a history education, and some of these may be more sophisticated than others. Peter Rogers, again, 1984, refers to a frame of reference. And as he points out, we cannot have a perception of the present that is not strongly influenced by a version of the past, some sort of version which we have internalized in the course of growing up and articulated in our adult lives. Such versions vary and matter because they determine how we understand and behave towards events that occur in our present world. And this links to issues of evidence. Only through the historical record can the accuracy or adequacy of these alternative views and the aptness and relevance of their underpinning assumptions be checked. Such assumptions form the frame of reference within which current events are perceived and in terms of which sense is made of them, and an inappropriate frame will result in their disastrous misinterpretation. That's Peter Rogers. Dennis Shemmelt, in 2000, actually picks out the importance of what he calls a big picture to the issues of orientation. History cannot be disaggregated and plundered for bits and pieces that can validly and usefully inform the present. Its value is as a big picture and a complex polythetic picture that first gives perspective to the present by prompting us to take the long view and to look beyond what is happening to what is going on. And second, allow us to fit present phenomena within a narrative and polythetic framework. And in a moment, we'll pursue some of these issues through the research. Thirdly, I think it's important that one of the concerns for history education in schools is that children should learn something of what it means to be human. And as Peter Lee pointed out in 1984, it is knowing something of that immense variety of ways in which people have found it possible to act and in which societies have been ordered. It is recognizing the importance of contingencies in every human experience, relationships and institutions. Such vicarious experience opens up new ways of seeing things, and so at one remove new possibilities for action rather than prescribing what must be done. And in terms of the meaning of what it means to be human, another important aspect of this is brought to us through the work of Paddy Walsh in 1992, and he points out, the past would have been very different if its individuals and peoples had never worked with an eye to a future beyond themselves, never participated in designs which they knew would not be realized in their lifetimes, in the faith that others would be encouraged to carry the venture forward. Partnership with the past has the same validity, in fact, as partnership with the future. And why worry about the past? We can do nothing for it, is as cynical as what has posterity ever done for me. Again, this part of what it means to be human also relates to our responsibilities and our orientation in time. In conclusion, school history has to do much more than confirm or enhance an individual's identity. It has to be about a bigger picture and a wider world, because to study history is to grow up and move beyond ourselves.